May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, warmest greetings to you all from a godparent, if you will, the Metropolitan Cathedral Church of St. Peter in the old city of York. Thank you so much for your welcome to this canon who in her ministry has somehow followed in the footsteps of a certain Thomas Tertius Noble. And yes, I have made the journey from Ely Cathedral to York Minster and now here to St. Thomas Fifth Avenue. Of course, working with musicians, I know that they are first in all things, and where they lead, the clergy inevitably and often very slowly follow. It's good to be building up the links between our great cities and our great churches in this your season of bicentennial celebrations. Thanks be to God for the writer of Psalm 103, who reminds us, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." But what does mercy sound like? What does mercy sound like? Karl Barth, the 20th century theologian, was devoted to the music of Mozart. He began and ended each day listening to Mozart's music. In this music, he heard everything that was, or is, or will be. In this music, he heard, in his own words, heaven and earth, nature and man, comedy and tragedy, the Virgin Mary and the demons. He also heard the most glorious harmony, which was, he said, an upsetting of the balance, a turning, he said, in which the light rises and the shadows fall, in which the yes rings louder than the ever-present no. I don't think any of us would deny the kindly benevolence of Mozart's music. It is like light rising as shadows fall away. It is a yes when all around us might seem like a no. Karl Barth is not alone. Others have found comfort and beauty in the music of Mozart too, and some have described his music as the sound of mercy. In his book, Unapologetic, the writer Francis Spufford, in a moment of anger and self-loathing, recalls hearing the adagio from Mozart's clarinet concerto as he sat in a coffee shop, a whirl of emotions, at one of those moments in life when everything seems to be unraveling. Through its gentle ministrations, he comes to understand the kindness and mercy of God. So this is what mercy sounds like, he offers. Mercy, he says, is like something better than you could ever have expected being slipped stealthily into a process that was running away. We might say that mercy is like a gentle music reaching into your heart when everything seems to be going wrong, or when there seems to be no way out. What does mercy sound like for you? Will you have an ear for the sound of mercy in the week ahead? In our readings today, we might catch a sound of mercy running through them if we choose to hear what the scripture is speaking to us. In the book of Genesis, the sound of mercy might be the sound of Joseph weeping as his own brothers who sold him into slavery kneel down before him and seek his forgiveness. Joseph could have responded in any number of retaliative ways, but as his estranged brothers confess their sins, Joseph speaks kindly to them. He is not in the place of God, he says, but he can respond after the example of God with loving kindness and comfort and a sort of beautiful gaze which can only be described as mercy. The sweet yes when all around him seem to be saying no. When anger would have been the easiest path, Joseph chooses to break this cycle of violence and sound instead the soft plagal cadence, the amen, the let it be moment, which reconciles one to another in a perfect peace. The sound of mercy in Joseph's heart is as sweet as any piece of music by Mozart. It is light and hope and new life. It is love stepping in before it's too late. When anger or judgment is expected, when this process of retribution could have run away with itself, instead we hear the sound of mercy through his tears and in his love for his brothers, which transcends the hurt he has been dealt by them. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, yet another troubled Christian community with a propensity to focus on the little things rather than the things that matter. In this case, the quibble is about what these Christians are eating or not eating, and the resulting judgment upon one another's tastes and predilections. Paul reminds this community that no one should be sitting in the place of judgment, for there is only one judge, before whom every knee should bow. Am I in the place of God? We hear echoing from our first reading. The sound of mercy in Paul's heart is a confident one, as certain as any bright major key. And this comes from someone who has received mercy himself, who has fallen down on his knees and begged to be forgiven for a life of violence and hatred. Instead of punishment deserved, Paul only received the light and love of Jesus Christ. Of all people, Paul must have known what mercy sounded like. So Paul encouraged these argumentative Christians to seek the courage to say yes rather than no, and understand that they were not in the place of God, but were all equal under God, kneeling at God's feet and benefactors of God's mercy. The parable that Jesus tells in Matthew's Gospel presents us again with the sound of mercy, but we also hear a sound of violence and malicious discordance in the unmerciful actions of one human being against another. a painful sound that we perhaps hear all too often in our church and in our world today. We are told of a king to whom much is owed. A servant comes before him and pleads clemency and the forgiveness of his significant debts. The benevolent king looks upon this servant with compassion and sets him free. If only the parable ended right here, in kindliness and generosity. But that same servant went away only to forget that he had been shown mercy. And when faced with an exact mirror image of his own predicament, he is found to be merciless. How many times must we forgive our brother who sins against us? This is the question that prompts this parable, and of course reaches back to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. There is no doubt that as those who are part of the beloved community, we really must learn what mercy sounds like. So we pray that we might turn away from the power games that so easily entice us, pitching up against one another in hatred, ego against ego, and instead find ourselves and our hope and our purpose in God alone, whose nature is always to have mercy. It was Abraham Lincoln who said that mercy bears richer fruit than strict justice. The prophet Micah continues to question the church of today. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? In each of these vignettes, someone has had a choice: to love mercy and say yes, or to seek vengeance and say no. The Father's love for us reaches its consummation in Christ. Wherefore love, a vile instrument of torture and death, is transformed into the seat of mercy, from where love will make all things new, and the music of loving kindness will become so strong that it overwhelms even death itself. It is here, at the foot of the cross, that our sins will be forgiven and our hope will be restored. There will be nothing that any of us can do that will provoke justice without mercy, for the cross looks kindly upon us all. Despite our propensity to judge one another, despite our nature to get things wrong, despite our inclination to put ourselves in the place of God, the cross gazes upon us with an equal light, as a yes to all the no's of this world that we carry on our hearts, and as a sign of God's loving kindness, a kindness much more than we could ever ask or imagine, a serendipitous smile stepping into the sorrows of our lives, the sun shining upon us when we are devoid of hope, the sound of Mozart when we are in a mess. What does mercy sound like for you? In The Merchant of Venice, please note I am English and it is in my DNA to quote William Shakespeare. In The Merchant of Venice, William Shakespeare speaks through the lips of Portia, of mercy that drops as the gentle rain from heaven. We do pray for mercy, she says, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. At every Eucharist, we fall to our knees and plead before a merciful God. Lord, have mercy upon us, so that we may render deeds of mercy in our turn. For mercy is not found in power, in crowns and scepters, Portia's speech goes on, but above all these symbols of power, mercy is to be found in the heart of kings. Another title for our gospel parable this morning, the parable of the merciful king. Our ability to show mercy is an outworking of our heart, a sign of our faith, a symbol of our love, a turning in which the light rises and the shadows fall, in which the yes rings louder than the ever-present no. So we pray for mercy, that we may hear its sweet sound in our lives, and we pray that we may render it after the likeness of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose nature is always to have mercy. Thanks be to God.